Go. Go. You can do it. Go. I'll empower you. Go. 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 You can do it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for your encouragement, where would we be? If it wasn't for your comfort, where would we be? If it wasn't for your challenge, where would we be, Lord? But today, we're ready for the next step. We've all put our right foot up, ready to step out. Step out into let it be. Step out into you're going to do it in us, through us, with us. Thank you, Lord. What better life to live? What greater mission could we have? What greater co-mission could we have, Lord? What a privilege, what a joy to step out towards people, your treasure. Step out towards the nations, your treasure, and bring it into the storehouse. What a joy to be harvesters in the harvest field and bring in the fruit. Thank you, God. You can do it through us. We believe it. We believe it. We're thankful, God, that you brought your coach along today to speak out encouragement. Speak out instructions for the harvest field. We're ready, Lord, to hear. Speak through Mel today, Lord. Touch us in ways that we couldn't even imagine. Take us from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, Lord. For your name's sake. For your glory, Lord. We want that today. Touched our hearts in this time of worship. As we've lifted it to you, we've gained. We've been prepared. We're in a good place. Go ahead, Holy Spirit, let us have it. Right between the eyes. Let us have it right in our spiritual ears. Let our spiritual eyes see new revelation in you, Lord. We're ready. We're ready. And all the people said, we're ready. We're ready. We're ready, Holy Spirit. Speak to me first, above all. I won't look to the person to my right or left. I'm receiving it. Whatever you challenge me with, I'm ready today. I said, I'm ready today. Oh, I'm more than ready today. In Jesus' name, just keep on going today. Amen. That's great. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Treat me, because I know where they're at. I don't know if Mary Pat does, so you might, you know, have to treat me well, and you, who knows, you may end up with a free book. Just kidding. Okay, so he's written Like a Mighty Wind. It's about the Indonesian revival back a few decades ago. Some awesome things happened then, but guess what? He went on from that revival to the nations, many nations. And we just love to have him in because I just look at him as the cheerleader for Frontline. He's always calling us up and telling us, keep on going. You press through that malaria. You press through that broken ankle. You just keep going to the nations. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't slow up. We need that sometimes. I said, we need that sometimes. Don't we all need that sometimes? So if you find that I'm kind of fired up and come after you and say, just keep on going, just... I probably heard from Mel on the cell phone, just so you know where that came from. So we're blessed to have you, Brother Mel, and just give it to us today. We're ready. You heard him. We're ready.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for your welcome, but I come with a friend of 45 years. His name is Jesus, so stand up and give him a standing ovation. That will make me feel better. Yeah, Jesus! Yeah, Jesus! Woo, woo, woo! Yeah, Jesus! Yeah, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome here this morning. Welcome. Welcome in our midst. Welcome to Frontline. Welcome this morning. We open our hearts. Speak that our life might be changed and will change the nations. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless you. You may be seated, please. Thank you. If you were here last night, remember the Lord is saying that this is the weekend, the meetings that what? Heaven will always remember. You go sit down over there, Kristen. Over there, thank you. This is the meeting that heaven will always remember. And hell will never forget. Because this is the meeting that God wants to speak to you and me. And impart to you something that will not only change your life, but will propel you to change the life of others. Because ladies and gentlemen, if we as Christians exist so that we can have a little Holy Ghost time and then cross the river to go to the other side and nothing else happen while we're here, then we might as well sign in and get off the planet and go where we're supposed to be. But the reason God keep us here is because there's a plan. There is a purpose. So that before we leave this planet, ladies and gentlemen, we have touched many lives. We have impacted nations. And we have made a difference in somebody's life. And that's why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we have these meetings here, because God wants these meetings to be the meetings that will impact you, and through you it impact the nations. And if that is the case, then these are the meetings that heaven will always remember and hell will never forget. I told you last night that God said to me to tell you that this is multiplication time. This is multiplication time. The year 2011 is the beginning of the breakthrough and the multiplication that God planned for the church. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You see in the world out there and it is dark. And when it is dark out there, it is confusing. We all tend to be intimidated. But the word of the Lord in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 said it very, very clearly. Arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. When darkness rise and deep darkness upon the people, it said, remember, rise, shine, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Bible made it very clear in the book of Romans. When the enemy comes like a flood, when sin abounds, can somebody remember from Sunday school class what happened with grace? Grace abound even more. So in a sense, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want darkness to intimidate you. Almost, now I'm not saying you do, but you almost welcome darkness, not because you like it, but because the rising tide of darkness only increase in a greater dimension the rising tide of grace. Because the darker it is, the greater the light and the glory of the Lord will be released. I remember the story or the occasion 45 years ago. My country, Indonesia, that's mine and Ina. Ina is here, so I have to kind of, you know, make her to be part of it so she doesn't feel like, you know, we are not playing it right here. But in our country, Ina and I are here, 45 years ago, Indonesia went through one of the darkest chapters of the history of that nation. The Communist Party that was there at that time were trying to take over the current government then. And they were planning to make it a communist domain, a communist rule country. They were planning to just literally execute and kill the current leaders and church leaders and business leaders, because they just really want to bring the country down the tube. It was the most difficult era or period in the history of Indonesia. But 4 days before the coup was supposed to take place, the Lord spoke to us and said, pray and fast for the nations, this nation, because I'm going to change it. And I'm going to turn the destiny of this nation. And you're going to see my glory like you have never seen before. We did. We pray. We trust the Lord. And 4 days later, the greatest revival that my country has ever known, that is still going on today, took place. And the Lord literally defeated the plan of the communists. And these last 45 years, my country, Indonesia, has risen among the nations in Southeast Asia to be one of the leading nations where the gospel is preached from that nation onward to another countries. Millions has come to know the Lord. And like you probably have seen or read a little bit in Like a Mighty Wind, we have seen these last 45 years the power of God manifested like it was in the book of Acts and like it was in the Bible. We have seen people raised from the dead. God changed water unto wine, and people, the blind see and the crippled walk, and literally millions and millions of Muslims have come to know Jesus in this last 45 years. And from that little country of mine, God has sent us all over the world, and I'm the one who get the privilege to come here to Jackson County. Is it Jackson County? Jackson Township. Okay. I'll get it right here before long. But it is next to Canton, which is the home of the football, the Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame. That I will always have to say it right, you know, because not every day that you come to or pass by Canton, you know, the hall and the home of the Football Hall of Fame. The Springfield, Massachusetts is the home of the Basketball Hall of Fame. And so you guys are in the right place in the right time because you are here for the purposes of God in a great way. And like I said last night, this is also the state of the Speaker of the House of the United States Congress. So we have to say, yay, Ohio! Well, you know, you guys took it away from California, but that's okay. I come here to say that there's no hard feelings whatsoever. This is the right way and it's the right time for the country of America. Because America is a nation of destiny. And God is going to fulfill the destiny that He has for this nation. And as American, we have a place to go. We have a destiny to fulfill. And we are here to impact nations in a way that God has planned it from the beginning of time. Because this nation was built and 200 years ago it exists for a purpose, for the kingdom of God. So don't let yourself be discouraged by what you see in the nations and in the economy and all that. It's not easy. It is more difficult probably than it was years ago. But ladies and gentlemen, in the time of darkness, in the time of uncertainty, in the time of famine, that is when the people of God can rise and fulfill their destiny. So rise, shine, because the glory and the presence of the Lord is upon you. This is the time has come for the church to rise and to see great things that God is doing. And that is why I like to come here to Jackson Township, the frontline ministry, once in a while, because I see the potential and the possibility that God has for you folks. Because you see, 2,000 years ago, only 12 people that heard the word of the Lord. And those 12 people literally changed the world right side up in one generation. And if it happened with 12 people, ladies and gentlemen, then we have about, 7 times 12 right here. Or maybe a little more. And we should do a lot better, you know, for this generation, for the nations. Because if they can do it then we can do it now. Because the God that they worship and the word that they receive is the God that we worship and it is the word that we receive. So ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes on that which God has spoken. Because this is an exciting time to live in. And I know that, ladies and gentlemen, because I came from the poorest and the most primitive island in the world. When God called me into the ministry 45 years ago and spoke and said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. I was sitting in the back there where Danny and her mama is, or maybe over where Michelle is. I wasn't sure. Yeah, I think it was in the right side, so where Danny and her mama is. I was sitting over there. And I said to the Lord, hey, how can we go to the world to preach the gospel? You know, we came from this poor country. We don't even have an ATM card, you know, or a credit card, or a bank for that matter. Well, the reason was, you know, not only because we were poor, but the little island didn't have a bank to begin with, you know. Ina here will tell you, she came from the bigger town, so they have bank when she was growing up, but not where I was growing up, you know. So in the natural, it is impossible for us to go unto all the world and preach the gospel. But you try to tell God that. He just ain't listening. And here it is, 45 years later, on January the 16th. Is the 16th today? Yeah. January 16th, 2011. Here is this young man. He's getting a little older, but he's still walking strong in the Lord. His eyes are getting clearer and clearer, you know. And he felt stronger today than when he was 45 years ago. He knew the destiny of God. And ladies and gentlemen, God sent this young boy that was 19 years old then and came here. But there's a little experience here under his belt, so to speak. He knows a little better now. Because 45 years ago, he didn't know much. But at least his heart was right. And he said, God, I can't do it. But if you call me to the nations I will go. So today, 45 years later, I come with an assurance, with a certainty, back up by experience, ladies and gentlemen, that when God tells you to go, God will see to it that it will happen. And so, Danny, the purpose of God is in your life. And so from this day on, you got to make all the right decisions. Because the decisions that you made will determine the fulfillment of God's destiny in your life. And the enemy will try to sidestep you. But you're going to say to the devil, I ain't going to sidestep. I ain't going to take no detour. The past is the past, but the present, I'm walking with God. And my future is bright because I have made the decision to be that which God has called me to be. So in the name of Jesus, let it be. And so for each one of you who are here, ladies and gentlemen, you have been called to fulfill your destiny. And so you decide today that I am going to the man and the woman that God has called me to be. And I will fulfill my destiny for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, you decide, the two of you, two are greater than one. And together, you'll be released unto all that God has called you to be. For you too, Ashley, in Jesus' name. And this girl here, she's a brave girl. She ate chicken hearts in Brazil. And lived to tell the story. And the story is not about eating chicken heart, but the story is about following God and fulfilling God's destiny in her life in the name of Jesus. And so, front line, rise in the name of Jesus. Your time has come. Front line, this is time of multiplication. This is the time of multiplication. Now listen to this. The reason God said it is multiplication time is this. Because you know we ain't got much. And this is not try to, you know, put you down or anything. But that is just reality. We ain't got much. So if God doesn't multiply it, the multitude will die. But you see, the multitude is not going to die because what? Last night we heard it. When Jesus saw the multitude, he has compassion for them. And you see, love propel God to do something. For God so loved the world. What happened? It propelled him to give up his only begotten son. The best that he got in heaven, he gave up. And the book of Romans said, if he gave us the best that he got, which is his only begotten son, how can he withhold anything that is less than his only begotten son? It can't be. It doesn't make sense. If he gave up Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, how can he withhold healing from Ashley? He can't. So Ashley, you're going to be strong and walk in the name of the Lord. How can he withhold finances from you if you go to the nations? He can't. The reason being is because he has given us the best he got. He gave us Jesus. And how can he withhold the finances? How can he withhold the job that you need? How can he withhold the grace that you need? He can't. He won't. Because ladies and gentlemen, he has proven the point. He gave up the best he got. Anything else that is less than Jesus is easier to let go. And so God will do it, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Shakab. Praise you, Jesus. Rise! Because the time of multiplication is here. Well, so last night, we know that, we learn about it. God is going to do it. God is going to meet the need of the multitude. And to meet the need of the multitude, God has to supply, multiply the little that we have. Because he has passion for the multitude. And so last night we prayed to God to give us passion for him and passion for the lost. And today we're going to go to the next step of our conversation. And that is partnership with God. Let's go back to the book of John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. We'll go back to the same story. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming toward him, Matthew 14 said he felt compassion over them. And then he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Now let us go back to Luke chapter 9, because as we talked last night, this particular story is recorded in the four gospels. So in Luke chapter 9, it said something like this in verse 13. He replied, "You give them something to eat." Now, remember the background as we were talking last night. It is not only 5,000 people that were present at that time. It was 5,000 men that were present. And according to Matthew, the 5,000 are besides the woman and the children. So, Bethany here last night. Where's Bethany? See? Bail out on me. Oh, okay. She's in the nursery. Okay. Well, I bugged her enough last night, so... poor girl just bail out on me. What's your name again? Okay, Amber. Your turn this morning, Amber. So you got to put your thinking hat on, okay, Amber? But, you know, we talked about last night, so you should remember it. So Amber and Bethany decided last night we got 5,000 men. Each man have a wife each. So 5,000 men and 5,000 ladies, on that is 10,000 people. Now, but Amber decide that the 10,000 people, which is the 5,000 couple, have 7 kids each. But that is way back then, you see. Today in America, we have 2.7 children per family. And I'm always wondering where the 0.7 kids going to look like, you know. You know, probably come with no leg or no something. Now, that wouldn't be nice, you know. So maybe we should just kind of don't let the kids to lose 0.3 something. So let's say three kids per family, okay? You know, sometimes these statistics are kind of a little funny. And how those experts come up with a point this and point that, you know, is besides me. And probably the reason is because experts are people who are getting better and better or knowing more and more about less and less. You know, that is the definition of an expert. Now, oh, that's your husband, doctor over there. You know, when you go to be a doctor, like say you're a medical doctor, the general practitioner, you basically know about everything and anything that you need to know to help your patients when they come. But if a doctor decides to get smarter, to be an expert, to be a, you know, specialist, and then you, let's say you become a heart specialist, then a heart specialist know more and more about the heart. That is what they specialize in. They know everything about the heart. They know everything about the, you know, whatever it is that you need to know. But the only downside of being an expert for the heart is that when somebody with an ear problem come along, you just send him to the other one who is an expert on the ear. Because the ear specialist knows more and more about the ear, but less and less about the eyes or the heart or something else. So those are experts. They know more and more about less and less. And so that is why, you know, they come up with all these funny figures, you know. But I tell you what. So 3 kids per family. 5,000 kids. I mean 5,000 families. 3 kids each. So how many kids is that? 15,000 kids. Amber, she's so smart. She doesn't even have a calculator. Okay, so 15,000 kids. 15,000 kids plus mom and dad, 15 times 10, that is 25,000 people. Is that right, Amber? And so we just take out 1,000 just to, you know, round it up, down a little bit. So 24,000 people that were present at that time. And the reason we say 24,000 is because we have 12 disciples. So if we divide it, 12 disciples, each one have 2,000 people to take care of. Because if we say 25,000, then you have to divide 1,000 by 12. And that is when, you know, these funny numbers begin to creep up. And that's not good because you start getting the points, you know, 3 at the 0.7. That's why I purposely round up the numbers in case you wonder why I'm, you know, trying to be fancy here. Okay? Or Amber and I, at least anyway. So there are 24,000 people present and there is only 12 disciples. And to make it worse, between the 12 disciples, they only got 5 pieces of bread. And then not only they are here in Jackson Township where there is a Safeway or whatever store down the Piggly Wiggly down the road here. They were in the middle of the desert. And you can be going for a long time before you can find a store to buy the supply for this humongous number of people. So the situation become more and more impossible. You know, it is easy to just give up at that point. And that is why Philip said to Jesus, you know, Lord, I know you have passion for the people. You're going to help them out. I do too. But you know, we don't even have enough money to buy all the bread for the 24,000 people. And as you know, sir, Judas is the treasury of our little group here. And you know, with Judas holding the purse, you never know how much money is left over there. You know, by the time he finished with his, vacation down, to the Red Sea or something like that. You know, Judas, he has his own, challenge, so to speak. And so, Philip said, God, this is getting impossible to accomplish. Oh, but I think Pastor Builder was singing something about nothing is impossible with God. If I can remember the song back here a minute ago. You know, with God, nothing is impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, either that is true or it ain't. Either you are alive or you're dead. You either here or you are there. Either God, nothing is impossible with God, or everything is impossible with God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we got to determine which way, we're going to choose. Is everything possible with God? Then everything is possible with God. You know, if nothing is impossible with God, then nothing is impossible with God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the point where there's no, maybe, maybe not, we just have to, make it straight and make it clear. It is or it isn't. And I'm glad you all sing this morning and said nothing is impossible with God. With Him, everything is possible. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Philip said to Jesus, we don't have enough money to do it, but whatever you say goes. And Andrew piped in just to confirm poor Philip. Misery sometimes needs company, Have you ever noticed that when you're a little down and you're worried about something, somebody just pipe in, and sort of kind of, confirm, the little negative that was kind of twirling in your mind. And the amazing part of it, that when you need a little encouragement, they don't come with the confirmation, but I tell you what, in front line, we're going to come with encouragement to people. We're going to encourage people and say, hey, you know what? What God told you, girl, I don't know how He's going to do it, but He knows, and I just want to encourage you to hang on. Hang on with God has said to you, but it's going to happen. Let us be people who encourage people and not be like Andrew here, who kind of have a company with misery for Philip. Now, God bless Andrew and Philip. They're okay. But, they kind of remind us of us human beings, who like to confirm the problems that others are facing. And so, when Philip said to Jesus, we don't have enough money, Andrew said, yeah, you're right, Philip. So between husband and wives here, we got to learn a little bit not to confirm the negative. But let somebody try to affirm the positive. All right? Husband, wife, don't look at them, but just sort of kind of, But determine in your heart today that I am going to be the spouse, the husband, and the wife, and the friend that will not confirm the negative. But I'm going to be the husband, the wife, and the friend that will affirm the positive. I will affirm God's words. So if the wife happened to be a little down, the husband just said, hey, honey, I know you feel a little down, but let me tell you something, sweetheart. God is alive. God is alive. He put us together here. And so there's a little bump here, but no problem with this little bump. We will roll over it. And before we know it, it's going to be, you know, behind us. Before you know it, it's going to be in the, when you drive, what you call that mirror there? Yeah, on the rear view mirror. So don't worry about it. It's going to be behind us here before long. Why? Because the word of the Lord has been spoken. Rise! Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Because when darkness increase, the light shine even brighter. When sin abounds, grace not only abound, but grace does much more abound. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a more time. In a more time. The multiplication time. More time. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to preach myself happy here. And if you folks don't got it, I got it. I got it. It is more time. More time. More time. More grace. More grace. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're going to give the devil a licking for sure. You know what I mean? We're going to give the devil a licking. We're going to really whip him good. Because we're going to rise as the people of God to fulfill our destiny. So never mind what Andrew said. Andrew is a negative confirmer. But we are positive affirmer. So we're a little bit different than Andrew. The Andrew will learn. In the end of the story, Andrew will got it. But ladies and gentlemen, we not got it. We're going to get it in the beginning of the story. You know, and we're going to join Andrew later on, or Andrew join us later on. And so, they were talking, and, you know, the reason they told Jesus they didn't have enough money. Oh, Lord, these frontline goofy people. They just want you to go to Ghana, Mozambique, Brazil, India, and all these places. You know, it costs a fortune to go there, you know? Don't they know? Yeah, they know. They've been there a few times, so they know. They got malaria without wanting it, so they know. You know, they've been there in the bush, so they know, you know. So, you know, but why do they want to do that? Well, so Philip said, Lord, we can't do it. The reason he told her there's no money is because, you know, he just wants something else to happen. And the reason Andrew said there's only 5 loaves of bread, he just said, Lord, I know you want to do it. Passion propel you to do something, but we just don't have the resources to accomplish it. Well, Jesus said, you know, notice one thing about Jesus. He doesn't waste his time discussing the reality that Philip and Andrew presented to him. He could have said, okay, let's talk about the money here. He just didn't. Let us talk about how many pieces of bread you have here and the possibilities of it. He didn't. You know why? Because Jesus is focused on the multiplication and the multitude. And because he knows he already has in mind what he's going to do, he doesn't want Andrew and Philip's reality to take away time to discuss that thing, because he wants to focus the disciples on something else that will make a difference. And so that is why when they come up with all these reasonings, Jesus said here in Luke chapter 9, verse 13, he replied, now remember, the verse before he said, send the crowd away so they can go on to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging in Holiday Inn, and the next to it there's that Safeway or that Piggly Wiggly, because we are in a remote place here. They were presenting to him the impossibilities. And he didn't even address that. What did he say? He replied, you give them something to eat. Philip probably looked to Andrew and said, didn't he hear us? Man, we just tell the man how impossible the situation is. And he just water over the duck's back. He just slough it off. He didn't even hear what we are saying. Well, he didn't hear what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, because he's focusing on the release of the power of God that is about to take place. And for that power to be released, he needs partners that can become distributors of that power to the needy multitude. So yes, Mama's situation is a little, you know, difficult right now, and the doctor says he might not make it. But we are not called to focus on what the doctors and Mama is feeling. Oh, we are called, ladies and gentlemen, to hear the word of the Lord, and that these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you believing? Do you know that nothing is impossible with God? They shall lay hand on the sick, and the sick shall recover. God is looking for people who are agreeing with God. Because there's enough people who agree with the doctor and Mama. And there's less people who agree with God. You know what I mean? So that is why God is looking for people who will agree with God, who will go with God, and who will partner with God. Mama have the MRI on her side. You know, whatever the name of that machine is. Right, doctor, MRI machine. Mama has the nurses saying that she was a little droopy. Mama has the doctors with the AKG that said the heart is a little, EKG that said the heart is a little weak. You know, I mean, the situation that we face in this world here, you have a million people that is confirming the thing that you have. The negative son. We need somebody who affirm what God has in mind. So that is why Jesus said to Philip and to Andrew and the rest of the 12, he said, you give them something to eat. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is that you give them something to eat. So you means Ina. You means, what's your name, sir?
Scott.
You means
Dora.
You means, pardon? Terry. Are you sure you're Terry? Okay, you means Terry. Just kidding there, Terry. You means Christy. You means anybody sitting here. You give them something to eat. You're the one who's going to go to Mozambique, not her, not him. You know, that kind of thing. You do what God wants you to do. Now, let's think of it this way. You give them to eat, Amber. The reason God focuses on you is simply this. Our human tendency is always like to think, I'm not Catherine Kuhlman. Now, you don't know where Catherine Kuhlman is because she passed away before you were born. Catherine Kuhlman, for your information, Amber, this is a little church history. She's a wonderful woman of God. She was growing up in Pittsburgh, you know, and she has these big meetings. In her meetings, they have like about minimum 5,000 people. I've been with her a couple of times, so that's why I kind of know a little bit here. And sometimes 10,000 people. And they worship the Lord like we did here today. And when Catherine Kuhlman come out from the stage, she always wear this white, flurry, well, not flurry, you know what I mean, fluffy, like angelic. She always wear a pretty dress, you know. And then she'll just float into the stage there. And when she took up the microphone, you know that that girl has something. And she will say, somebody back there, you are sitting in a wheelchair, come down. And before you know it, the ushers are going to go over there. And whoever there that is crippled, they just woke up and wake up and push their wheelchair down and come down. And they're instantly healed. There's a lot of miracles that happen in Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. This is before you're born, Amber. But Pastor Bill was a young man then, but he knows a little bit about it. He's still young today. He was a boy, young boy, I mean, at that time. And so Catherine Kuhlman, you know... Watch out, Mary Pat, he's getting excited. So, Catherine Kuhlman was quite well known in those days, about 20 years ago or so. And there's others, you know, Oral Roberts, Oral just passed away. And there's others, you know, that has been used by God, William Branham, and others that has been used by God in generations past.
See, the reason Jesus said to the disciples, you give them something to eat, is because the human tendency always said, oh, well, maybe Oral Roberts can pray for the sick. Maybe Catherine Kuhlman can do it. Maybe somebody else. Oh, Bill and Mary Pat, you know, they're kind of the head honchos of the ministry here, so they can probably do it, you know. Oh, maybe Mel Tari, you know. He's from the little dinky island, but he's been walking with God for 45 years, so maybe Brother Mel can, you know, kind of do it. You know. But not me. That is why you have to remember the emphasis today is very clear. Who should give them something to eat? You, me, you are the one. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not coming here to talk about your neighbor. I'm not coming here to talk about Catherine Kuhlman, Demas Sakarian, Oral Roberts, or whatever, whoever your favorite preacher in television is. Now, if you don't have favorite preachers in television, don't feel too bad about it. Because I don't either. But this is, erase that on the video, because they're all my friends, you know, so I shouldn't be saying it, but you know, between friends, we just got to be honest about it. The reason I don't favor nobody, because I know who they are. Because my Bible told me that the glory is deposited in the vessel of clay. So clays don't impress me, but I'm just grateful that the glory is deposited in the vessels of clay. So, they're human beings, just like you and I. Oh, but God has chosen them. God has put His hand upon their life. God said, you are the one. You are the one, Teresa. You are the one, Peter. You are the one. You are the one. It is you. I came here not to talk to Bill and Mary Pat, that they are the one who's going to do it. Only in private, I will say, you are the one. But this morning, I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, you are the one. It's not your neighbor. It's you. It is you that is called to partnership with God so that you will become what we discussed last night, the distributors of His miracles. Now, in case you weren't here last night, we are talking about two groups of people in this particular miracle when it took place. There are those that we call the recipient of the miracle, which is the 24,000 people that Amber decide how many it was. Those 24,000 people are the recipient of the miracle. Each one received through the disciples, which are the distributors, 10 pieces of bread. And what did the Bible say? They eat and satisfied. So, recipient always eat and satisfied. That is just the way God worked it. When He loves you, He gave you all that you need. You will eat and be satisfied. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There's going to be enough supply from the hand of God that the world, the people who are in need, will eat and satisfied. Cancer will be healed. The blind will see. The cripple will walk. The deaf will hear. Talking about the deaf will hear, I have to tell you a little story here. Is that okay, Amber? You want to hear a story? Yeah, Amber does. So whether you folks do or not, too bad. Amber does. Nah. And so I just came back from Mozambique here 6 months ago, I think. You know, some of you probably have heard of or know of my friends Roland and Heidi Baker. They are with Irish Ministries, you know. I was the best man when they got married. Cost me a few dollars, but that's okay. So I pay for, send them over. Oh, the first night I put them in this, what's it called, that name? The Queen Mary, you know, the one that is parked over in Long Beach. And I, you know, graciously reserved the Winston Churchill suite, you know. I was thinking of the Queen Elizabeth one, but I ain't got enough money for that, so I downgrade them. Downgrade them to Winston Churchill. So this is not bad. I mean, you know, it could have been down below deck, you know. But I was a little generous. Winston Churchill it was. And then they went over to Catalina Island. That is 25 miles offshore. Then got their honeymoon. And the moment they got back from their honeymoon, you know, I contributed a few dollars for them. And I sent them to Indonesia. Well, those two
started, when was that? Oh, 30 years ago. Yeah, about 30 years ago. And when they came back from Indonesia, they went to the Philippines, China, and every which way, you know. And 15 years ago, they went to Mozambique. I remember about 16 years or so ago, yeah, I don't know, either Heidi or Roland, you know. You know, after they're married for 25 years, you forget which one's Heidi and which one's Roland, you know what I mean? Trisha, you better watch out, because they said the longer you got married, the more you look alike. I don't know how true that is, but Peter wouldn't mind to get prettier, but you don't want to be. Never mind. Peter, yeah, never mind. And so Roland and Heidi said to me, Mel, the Lord told us to go to the worst country in Africa. And I said, which one is that? They said, Mozambique. It's the poorest and the worst country in Africa. So I said, what are you doing that for? They said, well, that's what the Lord told us. I said, well, you go, I ain't. So I said, once you got there and things going good, I'll come and visit you. But not before. With friends, you know, you can always be a little straightforward about it, you know. And so these two went. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? 15 years later, 20,000 orphans under their care and 10,000 churches under their supervision. Well, I should have gone with them when they went. Well, I mean, but the Lord called them and told them, not me. And when they got it all established, I went in and, you know, gonna help out, you know, by then, you know. And the reason I went there is because they were in the northern part of Mozambique in this Muslim area. 5-6 years ago they started, maybe 7 by now, they started with 15 people in the congregation. And 5 years later, they have 1,100 some churches in that area alone. Now I'm just kind of dropping a hint here, you know. But if those folks in 5-6 years start from 15 and we have 75 minimum sitting here this morning, and 5 years later they got, you know, like close to 1,000 churches. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we got to kind of adjust some things here, you know. We got to begin to do something here so that that which God planned for Frontline and for this church will come to pass. Now, how are you going to do it? Let me tell you how you're going to do it. Pat, you're interested? I'll tell you how you're going to do it. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. I wrote it down here because I thought it was profound. September the 10th, 2010, the Lord gave me this word as I was preaching in this church in Yuma. And this is what the Lord said. The size of your church is not determined or measured by the number of people in your local church, but it is by the number of people that you reach or influence outside your local church in the nations. So if somebody asks you the question and said, how big is Frontline Church here in Jackson Township? You don't measure the size of this church by the number of the people that are sitting here. We have 100 plus sitting here, but that is not the size of this church. Now, we don't mind to double this by next month. We don't mind to 10 times by the time I come back next year. It will be fine with me. You know, I don't mind if you guys just knock off this site buildings here and, you know, just push it back that way and we got more people. It's okay with me. But the size of the church is not determined by the number of the people sitting here, but by the influence that this church have in the nations. So it might be only 100 plus here, ladies and gentlemen, but this church in my book is the church of 10,000 and 100,000. This is the church of the millions. Because the influence of this church in the nations are in that caliber, are in that number. Because ladies and gentlemen, I've been in churches that are having 40,000, 30,000, 10,000 sit there, but the influence of that church doesn't go on the walls or the perimeter of those churches, unfortunately. So the size of this church is determined by the influence that this church have in the nation. But for that to happen, ladies and gentlemen, like Roland and Heidi 18 years ago, even though I wasn't signing up on there and going down to Mozambique, they know that God has spoken to them. They know that God said, you go to Mozambique. And whether you go or not, when the Lord tell Heidi and Roland to go, they will go. Whether you join or not, that is too bad. And that is the kind of determination that you have to make this morning. They make it or not, I'm going. Whether they eat the chicken heart or not, I'm going. Because I have a mission from God. I have been called in partnership with God to become not only the recipient of His grace. Because the recipient is good. You'll eat and satisfied, but you only got 10 piece. Oh, but I want to become distributors of God's miracles to the multitude. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because the numbers work out better that way. Because the recipient got 10 piece. Eat and satisfied. What happened with the distributors? Oh, the distributors ate 15 pieces. I told you last night why. Because when you got the bread from Jesus and you run over to your group over here and give it to the people, you got a little hungry, you know, hustling back and forth. So you ate, you work out an appetite. So they're satisfied with 10. You only will be satisfied with at least 15 or at least 20, double the number. Because you are working hard, you're sweating it, you got a little hungry, so you got a little more. So you know, a distributor always got a little more, mind you. But not only a little more that you got in your tummy. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, imagine the paparazzi pictures. You know, all the people that were sitting over there. You come with a basket that have 110 people got it. You come back again, 100 piece of bread. People get it. Man, you flowing through your mortal hands. Throwing through your shaky hand. Throwing through your clay hands. Flowing through your ordinary hands. Oh, Jesus. Flowing through these hands. The very power. The very reality. The very life. The very miracles of the living God. Flowing through these hands. As the miracle is dispersed and distributed to the multitude. I don't know how you feel, ladies and gentlemen, but the way I look at it, that's real cool. Or the way the young people in this generation will tell you, Danny's generation, that's really sick. I mean, it's really sick. You know, the good sick, is that right? Oh man, to imagine, imagine this Amber, okay? Imagine this Amber. You go to the ICU over here in Canton Memorial Hospital. I don't know if there's a place like that. Or Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic is better because it's famous all over the world. So you walk over to Cleveland Clinic, you know. And you got over there. And this guy is laying there in the ICU unit. All hooked up with all their machines, you know. Heart, cardiovascular problem, you know. The doctors don't know if he's going to survive or not. And here walk in Amber. In the name of Jesus! An Amber lay hand on this dude over here. And he got out and just pulled out all them tubes. And nurses just got about a nervous breakdown. They push all them buttons. Doctors, come over here! And the doctor came over and checked on the man. The man said, brother, what's the problem with you guys? I'm feeling fine. And, you want to put the EKG or whatever that thing to confirm that I'm good? So they confirm it. And they said, man, we don't know what happened. But I tell you what, it looks like miracles happen now and then in this hospital here. You see, if Amber is the one who walk in and lay hands and that happened, well, that is something worth noticing in Cleveland Clinic. Now, if Catherine Kuhlman come through, that will be good too. But, you know, it's not as big as a notoriety, I might say, if Amber is the one who walked through. But you see, that is what God is saying this morning. You, give them something to do. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, when God recruits you to partner with Him, He's actually doing you and I a favor. Besides doing the multitude a favor. He wants you not to just be satisfied with 10 pieces of bread. He wants you to consume 15 or 20. And then have 20,000 pieces of bread to flow through your hand to the multitude.
Man, that will be a good feeling. Everybody over sitting in that corner will want to take your picture, you know, with their iPhone, because they've never seen such a thing. They've never seen such a thing. Oh, that mere mortals can be distributors of God's amazing grace. Oh, that mere mortals can lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. Can say to the demon possessed and said, I set you free in the name of Jesus. That can speak to the blind and say, see. To the deaf and say, hear. That mere mortals can become distributors of the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is something that will just excite anybody, including the most dead Presbyterians like yours truly. Oh, because I tell you what, it gets exciting when God start doing something good like that. And so I was over here in Mozambique here the other day. I was in Mozambique the other day. And so they have about 1,000 churches right now, okay, in this Muslim area. So we went over to the village. And they have a big tent. They got the Jesus film and all that. And so then somebody's supposed to be preaching. David Balcom from Hong Kong were there, so he was preaching. Heidi was preaching. Pastor Jim from down in Sarasota was preaching. And my turn's coming, so I was standing over here in the side. And as I was standing there, two young boys came and stood next to me. Let's say they're about 12 and 10-ish, you know, those two young ones. And the one up front, the younger one, he couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak Portuguese except obrigado and a few nice words like that, you know. And he motioned to me and said, which means you pray for my friend over here because he deaf, 2 ears. So I look at him and said, well, I guess, you know, I didn't have anything to do besides standing there, you know, occupying space. I think we better do more than just occupying space, don't you think? And not to put on a guilt trip on anybody here. You know what I mean? But I think it will be better to live life more than just occupying space. And so that we don't just occupy place, ladies and gentlemen, we got to accept the assignment to partner with God now. We aren't here just for ourselves. We are here for the multitude. We're here for the sick and dying world. We're here for the dark world. Because we're the one who's going to bring them healing. We're the one who's going to bring them grace. We're the one who's going to bring them light. So I was standing there. I said, yeah, I think I better, you know, make myself useful here. And so I turned around to the two young men and I said, yeah, okay. I gave them the nod. So I put my two fingers on this little boy over there. And pray for him. And it was loud, you know. And he probably couldn't hear what I said. That's good too, you know. And so I finished praying. I said, be healed in the name of Jesus, something like that. And I finished praying. And after I finished praying, I look back to where the preaching was. So I was looking back that way. And about a minute later, I look back over here. And guess what? The two fellas, the formerly deaf one and his little buddy that asked for prayers, they were talking to each other, smiling and talking a mile a minute. Now, I should have said, praise the Lord, he got healed, but that wasn't the case. I remember thinking to myself, now that little fella just pulled a trick on me. And the reason I thought so is because usually I've gone with Roland and Heidi in the meetings many, many times. When somebody is deaf from birth, when they got healed, they don't just talk a mile a minute right away. They have to start learning to say papa, mama, whatever words they need to say. So it takes them a little time to start conversation, normal conversation. And the reason I was a little suspicious is because this fellow here, he wasn't starting conversation. He was talking a mile a minute. So I thought, oh, that little boy just tricked me. But that's okay. He's just a kid, so what can you do? No sense slapping him, you know. It's not that big of a deal. And to confirm my suspicion, now I am telling this story here for a reason. Because when you walk with God, the enemy without invitation will like to confirm to you your suspicion. Not the truth, mind you. The truth is affirmed by the Holy Ghost.
But the devil always confirm your suspicion or your doubt or whatever negative that you're thinking in your head. And I was thinking a little negatively about this young fellow here, you know. And so to confirm my suspicion, there's another two boys who ran and stopped next to me. And one of them were carrying the other one, pretending like the other one was crippled. And then when they got in front of me, the other one that was quote-unquote crippled jumped down and they were laughing and, you know, having themselves a grand time. So I said, yeah, these kids pull that kind of stuff all the time. That's okay. And then about 25 minutes or half an hour later, Heidi was standing over there and said, I want those who are healed tonight to come forward. And I saw this little fella, you know, the talking one over here. He was right up there. So I remember thinking, what is he standing there for, you know? Is he trying to pull a fast one here on Heidi again or something? And but Heidi understand the Makua language and the Portuguese, so, and the people in the village know all of them. So she was talking to them. And it turned out that this little guy over here that I was praying for before has been stone deaf for about 4 years. So he has been able to talk normally for 8 years. But this last 4 years, he has been deaf for whatever reason. And everybody in the village knew about it. And so when God healed him that night, he was up front testifying about the miracle that he just received. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. Oh, now I understand why the two of them were talking a mile a minute after I prayed for them. Because he's not a person who are deaf for life. So have to start learning the words. He has been speaking for 8 years. He just have been deaf for these last 4 years. Let me tell you, you don't have to be deaf but a minute to be grateful for the miracle. Do you know what I mean? A week is long enough, you know, to be deaf. 4 years is long. And so that's why when God healed him that night, he was talking a mile a minute with his friends because he has been talking before. Now that his ears are open, he was able to communicate a lot better than prior to that point. I learned a lesson. God is a God. All he needs is a willing partner so that he can release the miracle. Even though the partner is smart alecky, like yours truly, who have his own conversation in his head as to what is going on. Just like Peter, just like Andrew, just like Philip, you know, we only have 5 loaves of bread. What are you going to do with the multitude? Shut up, Andrew! You give them something to eat! So you said, I've never prayed for somebody to be healed. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. You can stay there and say no to Jesus and you'll never pray for somebody to be healed. But I tell you what, if you have never prayed for somebody to be healed, but today you say, yes, Lord, let me be your partner, I reckon one of these days you're going to hit the jackpot and you're going to see somebody who is blind see the cripple walk and you're going to see somebody with cancer totally healed and Cleveland Clinic will give you the reward or something, you know, the recognition for being God's partner to release and distribute the grace of God to those who need it. So don't tell me you have never done it. As a matter of fact, if you have never done it, it's about time, brother. It's about time to sign up. It's about time to partner with God. Oh, because you never know what grace he is going to deliver into your hand so that you can pass it on to the multitude. So you said, I've never seen somebody healed. Well, your turn's coming. Make yourself available to God and go down to the hospital. You said, if you pray for the first one, don't happen. Well, then pray the second time. And the third one. The fourth time. One of the days, you're going to hit the jackpot. And I mean, if you have to pray 100 times before you see the miracle, what's wrong with that? As long as you hit the miracle, I think you're going to start feeling a little better when the miracles start happening. So don't give up. That's the devil who tried to, you know, let you and I not to partner with God. Jesus said it today. You give them something to eat. Partnership with God. And I came from Indonesia to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that when you partner with God, you never know what is going to happen. I have seen the blind see and the crippled walk. I have traveled the world this last 40 years. Meet with wonderful friends like you folks here. I've been blessed to have friends like you. But let me tell you, friends, from one friend to the other, I'll just give it to you straight. God is not calling nobody else to partner with him today but you. You give them something to eat. And I hope somebody this morning here said, yes, Lord. And if you are, stand up, please. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Stand up, because you want to say, yes, Lord. Come back tonight and we're going to finish up this thing here. You know, one good thing about coming here is we have three meetings, so I can always, you know, stretch it and, you know, finish it up later. But we're going to sing a little song here. Ashley, hit the note then. Let us sing something here. But this song, you know, whatever the song said, when you sing this song, you're saying, yes, Lord. Thank you, Trisha. Trisha here just got married. I was wondering if she ever will, but now she got it. No, Trisha.